Good evening, Dean Henderson.
Good evening.
I guess it's morning. It's morning where you are, right? So it's noon.
Yeah, about noon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. I just tell mostly to the Israeli audience, this is Dean Henderson, and a few days ago I translated an article you wrote about G5, the fifth generation of communication, as if that's the story, and who is implementing it, and how it's to do with the culling of humanity or culling of the human race. And after I translated your article, which I must say was very interesting to read, and we will speak about the article and much more in this podcast, I contacted you and I said, right, let's do a podcast or let's do a video interview. And here we are, we're doing it. So excellent that you agreed, and very nice to have you here for the Israeli audience. If you can just, because nobody really in Israel know you, if you can just tell us about yourself for, I don't know, a couple of things.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me, Shai, and I really appreciate you translating the article and introducing me to the Israeli audience that's trying to find the truth out about the world. Because we're everywhere, and the internet gives us the ability to connect, and so that's what we need to do right now to combat this. So, you know, I live in southern Missouri in the Ozarks. It's a very quote-unquote backwards part of America, very rural. Got clean water, clean air. That's why we moved here. It's a lot of back to the land people that have moved here. The land is cheap, taxes are cheap. So I live on a 40-acre farm. We raise our own vegetables. We raise animals from time to time. We cut wood for burning, for heat. Try to live self-sufficient. Really go to town about once a week, and that's how I live, you know. But my academic background, I have a bachelor's degree in liberal studies, which was a very multi-interdisciplinary courses about different, you know, topics, because I think interdisciplinary education is really the way to understand how the world works. It's about connecting the disciplines, connecting the dots. Yeah. And that's, I think, what got me where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Got a master's in environmental studies, which is also was an interdisciplinary road, and I did a thesis on the big oil companies in the Middle East during the Gulf War in 1990.
Right.
And so my master's thesis was called the Gulf Cooperation Council, a regional resource security state for the regime of international capital accumulation. Yeah. So so that turned into, I could have published that right away with some kind of left-leaning presses in this country, but I felt like I wasn't getting the whole picture, because when I researched it, I found out the four horsemen of oil, which is ExxonMobil, Royal Dutch Shell, Chevron Texaco, and BP Amoco, and that's a term that I coined, the four horsemen. It comes from Anthony Sampson's The Seven Sisters. People may be familiar with that book from the 1970s. He's talking about the big giant seven oil majors at that time. Well, they've now merged into just four companies,
right,
who I call four horsemen. And some other people have stolen my language and made a movie out of it. So, oh well, that's fine.
It's funny you say it, because I have Bill Cooper's book here, Behold the Pale Horse, which is from the Four Horsemen. You know, it's from
Close. Yeah, that's an awesome book. It's one of my favorite books of all time. I learned a lot from that book, and he's actually footnoted in my Big Oil book a few times. But I started finding out that basically the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the royalty of Europe owned a lot of these oil companies, majority shares in them, and that piqued my interest, because I was just trying to find out who's making the money off the Gulf War. And it turns out these four horsemen of oil, their profits went up like 700 to 900% during the period of the war. And so they were literally selling oil to Saddam and selling oil to the Allies and everything, and that's what they do. And so then I just said, I'm not going to publish this yet. I'm going to keep researching. So I probably read another 100 books, and I've traveled to 50 countries. So I'm sitting out, you know, in the morning in Kathmandu or in Guatemala City or in Bangkok reading the morning paper, and just, you know, connecting dots of where these people are operating, how they operate, and their same corporations are polluting and killing people everywhere, and who owns them, and how they're connected to the third world oligarchy, in those countries. And I just kept a big stack of papers, you know, for years. And finally in 2004 and 5, I put out the first edition of my Big Oil book. It's called Big Oil and Their Bankers in the Persian Gulf, Four Horsemen, Eight Families, and Their Global Intelligence, Narcotics, and Terror Network. Not quite as long as the thesis title, but pretty long. But, you know, it's about as succinctly as you can say it, because that's what it is. And it's about how not only do these oil barons, you know, own the oil companies, they also own the arms industry and the drug trafficking industry, which are the three most expensive or most valuable commodities on this planet, you know, arms, oil, and drugs.
Arms, oil, and drugs.
Yeah, you know, arms, oil,
drugs. When you say drugs, you speak about Big Pharma? No, you speak about actual drugs.
It's actually both, but I'm talking about the illicit drug trade, but in fact, they also control Big Pharma, you know.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So you can throw that in there, and it's just a whole nother, a chunk of change for these guys. So anyway, then you find out these same families, these dynastic warmongering banking families that actually have their roots, at least as far back as Babylon and probably to Samaria. And then they moved on to Rome, and then the Pope kicked them out and they had to go to Venice.
Right. Hang on. This is now too much. Let's stop here for a second. I want to, thanks for that, but just to clarify something, you also write for Global Research, right?
Yeah, I've written for Global Research, yes.
So basically you a freelance reporter on these issues.
Yes. Several articles. I'll cut to the chase on my bio, a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Get strung out, yeah. So I've written five books. The first one, like I told you, then The Grateful and Rich, Revolution in 50 Countries. That's my travelogue, but it's also very political, you know.
Yeah.
And then The Federal Reserve Cartel, Sticking It to the Matrix, which is a book about how to get out of the system and not participate in this evil system and still make a living in different ways that are, you know, legal, sort of. And then the other, it's kind of Abby Hoffman, Steal This Book for the 21st Century, I call it. And then the last one I wrote was in June with my wife. It's called Illuminati Agenda 21, The Luciferian Plan to Destroy Creation.
Which I think we will, also because it's very relevant and actual, and it's now. I mean, it's here and now. This is what's happening in many countries around the globe, or whether it's flat or round, it doesn't matter now, but this is what's happening now. And I would just add to the audience, just to let them know, you really live like almost totally off-grid. You don't have a cell phone, you have just a landline, you don't have Wi-Fi, there's no routers, there's no cell masts, so you have just a wired internet connection. Am I right so far?
Yes.
So just to add this to what you already said, just so the audience here will understand that you really live almost as off-grid as possible. I mean, maybe the only thing is the power supply, you know? But apart from that, you're fairly content, I would say, with your surroundings and the way you live, which is really cool, and I really admire it, you know? It's not easy to do it.
No.
But it's achievable, and I'm all up for it, you know? After living so many years around the world, and mostly in India, I know what it's like to live very close to the soil, to earth, to water, to the sun. Very simple living, you know, without the pyramid of money, which is grabbing all of us and sucking us into this matrix system. So, right. I want to do, if you may, some like history lesson. Like I want to learn some history, but from a different angle. I would like, if you can, to go or to start from here and now, and to go backwards. Maybe we can go back to World War II. I mean, you can jump anytime you like to any time you like, but just to what is going on here and now. Not just in Israel, I mean in the States, in Israel, in Europe, in Australia, in New Zealand, in the, let's say, the developed countries, as well as the developing countries, and how we got into this situation, if you can give us some historic perspective. Is that all right?
Sure, I'll give it a try. I have to put
excellent,
my brain kind of in
excellent.
First, but I'll do it. Okay, so I think where we're at now is it's sort of the coming out party for what I call Nazi International. It's a global fascist, white supremacist oligarchy that has ruled the world for a long time. But they're coming out now because they can, because they've pretty much achieved what I call full spectrum dominance. Not only do they control your and my and every other country's army, navy, air force, but they now control space. And they now, through the internet, which was created by DARPA, a Pentagon, the creepiest part of the Pentagon, and controlled by the Serco contractor for the Crown of England, they now control our minds. And they're creating like a hive mind mentality. Using MK Ultra technology that they're used to use on individual assassins, mind control people. Now they're using that same technology, directed weapon energy, which is part of what the 5G, but also the 4G and the Wi-Fi is, and to create kind of a hive mind, mass mind control situation where they can create a fake consensus based on what the oligarchy wants you to believe in. So that's where we're at, and that's why I think Trump's in power now, because it's kind of the time of Gog and Magog, and Trump is such a unlikable fella that they put him in there to do just that, to kind of make the other side of the aisle crazy. And meantime, you know, he's got this following on his side that thinks he's going to be some savior. QAnon is, you know, putting out this stuff and people think it's real, and I just don't. And I think they've got it so sewed up now. But you have to go back to the dynasties of the Clintons and the Bushes, and I'll just talk about America for a little bit and Britain for a little bit here.
Oh, yes, yes.
Then you have to go to Tony Blair, because Tony Blair was, well, the one that took the Labour Party in Britain, and he made it the New Labour Party, and he moved it far to the right. And Clinton did the same thing here at that time. He pretty much did this triangulation thing, where he moved the Democrat Party, you know, into this kind of new Democrat thing, which was definitely to the right. But it was about free trade was a big part of it. And one of the things Blair did was he deregulated even further this City of London entity. And this is where we have to just jump way back and explain what this is, because the City of London is a 1 square mile entity within London proper, within the UK, but it's not part of London or the UK. It's a separate jurisdiction. It was created by the Magna Carta in the 12th century because all the old Venetian and nobility way back when traded on this Lombardy Street, which is in the City of London. That was where they always traded in Europe. You know, they sent out their crusaders, and through the crusades, they were able to basically loot the wealth of the entire world, all the indigenous people everywhere. And they used that wealth to build up the Holy Roman Empire, and eventually were kicked out of there, had to go to Venice, and then it ended up basically behind what's the City of London right now. So, for example, the Queen of England is not British. She's German,
yeah.
But she's not even really German. She's a Guelph from the Venetian bloodline.
Really?
So the Italian, yes, the Italian Venetian bloodlines are actually the most powerful. These preceded even Rothschild. And they were basically the ones, well, they're the ones who were around when Jesus was hung on a cross, and it was the same people, interestingly, that hung him on a cross that are in charge today. So, okay, we'll go back now to 1989. 1989 was when the privatization craze also began. Mm-hmm. So this, you have to understand that all of this that has gone on really since Reagan in our country is the British mercantilist model. You know, it's all about free trade because, you know, to them, it's always been about, you know, the East India Company model, where it's just a free-for-all, and corporations have more power than nation states. And you just go around the world and you create kind of a plantation economy where you gut the real economy, you destroy manufacturing, you destroy production where nobody really makes anything anymore. Everybody's just a consumer. Mm. And then you have a separate plantations through globalization around the world where the products are the cheapest. And you set up these cheap labor platforms through the IMF. But this doesn't work without the City of London, because the City of London is where all the offshore money comes out of. And the Bank of England, which sits next to the Anglican Church in the City of London, operates all the offshore accounts in the Cayman Islands, Jersey, Bahamas, Bermuda, Isle of Man, whatever it is. These are all crown control. These are all UK crown control entities, right? So what they'll all do is they'll loan money to...
All these offshore accounts in these islands you just mentioned, they're all controlled by the City of London, right? Or by the Crown?
Yes.
By the Bank of England?
Yes.
Right. That's, all right.
Yes, the Bank of England through the Crown, and the Queen has the ultimate say over the Bank of England, ultimate control, and it's illegal to inquire about the Queen's finances. You just can't do it. And she's got this Privy Council around her, and the Privy Council is basically the sirs, the dukes, the knights, the barons. That's the old Venetian, black Venetian oligarchy that now have taken over the UK. And they did it because the UK is an island, and they wanted to get their money offshore from Europe, see? Yes. And it was all about the sea lanes and the Navy, which even today, it's all about the sea lanes. The U.S. Military will tell you that the Navy is the most important part of the military because, well, the world's two-thirds ocean, I mean, is what it comes down to. So if you control the sea lanes, you control the world. And that's how the British Empire controlled the world for so long. But it never really went away. So they decolonized. We'll go back a little further into the 60s, say. And they decolonized Africa. They decolonized Asia. They split up India into Pakistan, India in 47, a little bit further back. But all this decolonization did was it was basically a strategic move by the British crown to hide a little bit from their control of these economies, and they're still able to control the economies through control of their central banks.
I didn't get it. Sorry. Why they decolonize these places?
Yeah, they because people think, you know, the decolonization, that was just some sort of benevolent thing, you know, that the British and the French and the Belgians and everybody did is, you know, they decolonized, they pulled out, they were run out. Now, in some cases, they were run out by revolutionaries, but really, ultimately, they stayed in charge of these economies. And the benefit to them is now they didn't have all of their British bureaucrats, say, in Kenya, you know, where the public in Kenya could see them sitting there controlling them. Now they're gone, and instead the Central Bank of Kenya is controlled by these people. Instead, the IMF comes about at this time and starts loaning money. So they'll loan money to say, Jomo Kenyatta in Kenya. He'll pocket half of that.
Just to understand, so it's similar in a way to the Federal Reserve Bank controlling the U.S., I mean, after the Civil War, etc., as if they won, but actually they are controlled through the Federal Reserve and they didn't really win the war. Is it similar, what you're describing?
Go on. No, that's right. That's right. Absolutely right. And, so they maintained control of the plantation, but they were able to put local people in charge. And so they see black faces now in Kenya and they think, oh, we're free. Yeah. But nothing gets better. And why? Because, again, the IMF loans money. The dictator in Nigeria or Ghana or wherever puts half of it in their pocket. The other half goes to corporations who are contracting the IMF, whatever the IMF's giving the money for. Mm. They're the ones building the infrastructure. So they get the other half of the money. The local government gets none of the money, just goes into debt big time. And then they, of course, use that debt to extract privatization concessions from these countries, take over their water system, take over their power grid, take over, you know, this whole privatization British mercantilist model. Meanwhile, the dictator takes the money in his pocket, puts it back where? Into the City of London. And then the City of London, Bank of England, puts it in the Cayman Islands, and nobody can trace it. So, and this is the new sort of colonial model that's going on right now.
You're describing a real method. Right, it's a well-built system. Who thought about it? Like, who is the first person or the first group of people to think about this? Actually, it's quite genius, you know. If you want to control, this is genius method. Who came up with it?
Yeah. Well, again, you really have to go back at least to Venice, because, you know, again, you know, even the Roman Catholic Church got so tired of these Knights Templar banking families. You know, the Crusades were backed by the Vatican, but then these guys started getting into some really kind of satanic, Luciferian, black magic stuff where, you know, they were just too much. So the Vatican ended up hanging Jacques de Molay in the 13th century.
Yeah.
There's, in fact, a de Molay society to this day in America where the children of Freemasons are brought up through the de Molay society. And so they actually, like, worship this guy, Jacques de Molay, but the Pope actually burned him at the stake with help from the King of France. They ran these guys out of Rome, and there was actually to Venice. And then they set up Venice, the de Medici family set up in Genoa, the Bard banking family was significant, the Guelph family, the Lombard family in Florence, and all on that northern part of Italy. And so then they would back the Vatican in a war against, in the Crusades, even against, you know, Byzantine, which is now pretty much Turkey. And they would pit them against each other, and they would fund both sides. And so this is what bankers learned a long time ago. See, they learned that if you fund both sides, and all the time you're destroying the resources and the economy of the Vatican, you're diminishing their power, you're diminishing the Byzantine power. They did the same thing with Martin Luther. They funded the reformist movement against the Catholic Church with the Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation. That was funded by the Black Venetian bankers. And they funded the 30 Years' War between the Catholics and the Protestants. And both sides, you know, get weaker when you do that. And then who comes out stronger? The bankers. So their whole model, this model of destruction, wealth destruction, you know, really is what it's about. It's about destroying wealth, not creating wealth, but actually destroying wealth of the middle class, of other powerful entities that may compete with your interests, like the Vatican, you know, like, say, Russia now is what, you know, these bankers, they want to diminish the power of Russia now because they've become a competitor a little bit. China, this is why Huawei is under attack.
Yeah.
So it's all about basically setting your enemies up against each other, and they kind of see everybody as their enemy. You know, humanity is really their enemy. And it does have a spiritual root. It is the kind of Freemasonic view of the world, which is that Lucifer is the god of light, and Adonai is the what we know as God or creator or whatever good entity you believe in, you know, as far as, you know, a force of good that made us. They consider that god sort of a god of darkness. So it doesn't matter if you believe in that stuff or not, or if you believe in God. What matters is they, the Freemasons, who, you know, every bank in the City of London has its own Freemason lodge. Yeah. And this is why they wear the crazy regalia that look like they're in a circus, you know, because, and it's all this Freemason influence. So the Lloyds Bank has a Freemason lodge. The Bank of England has its own Freemason lodge. The Lord Mayor lives in his own Freemason lodge. It's crazy. So it is crazy, but like I said, it doesn't matter if you believe in God or not. They believe in God and they hate God. And so thus they hate humanity. And this is why you get all these crazy things coming out of the Royal Society, you know, like the National Geographic Society telling us that, you know, nature is this really harsh place and, you know, it's survival of the fittest and every animal just wants to kill the other animals and all this BS. Whereas, you know, I've lived in the country my whole life and I see...
Hang on, sorry. You have like... some bad sound from your mic. Hang on a second.
Okay, sorry.
Speak 1 minute.
Is it still there?
No, now it's not.
Is it?
No, it's all right.
It's gone?
It's all right. I'm thinking maybe it's on my side, but I don't know what. But we're good now.
So yeah, I don't know either. Oh.
Go on.
Okay, your picture's a little blurry, but I don't. It's fine. It doesn't bother me as long as but yeah, they're straightening up. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, So I think again to find out this sort of mentality where you just want to control people and you want to ruin people and you want to run the show. It's just going back and in Babylon, of course, it was Mammon, you know, and in the Bible and everything, it's just, you know, Mammon is greed. So greed is in a very real sense a kind of demon that takes people over. And I think these dynastic families who have just been in power for so long, they're addicted to greed, they're addicted to, you know, power, and so you just take that up through decolonization, which is, you know, the Commonwealth, which is the sham right now, you know, the UK runs this thing called the Commonwealth, yeah. But it's really, again, it's just the crown destroying the wealth of the Commonwealth nations, stealing their innovations, as you saw with the Circo article. They're stealing all the technological innovations because they run the patent office here. They have the contract. Just like RCA Corporation, which was their predecessor, was a patent monopoly in the 20s, and they were stealing inventions from all over the world and just tucking them in under the City of London crown. And when I say the crown, it's interchangeable with the City of London, because the crown doesn't mean the Queen of England. The crown indicates the bigger bloodline nobility that has ruled all over Europe and also rules, for example, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, all these GCC countries. You know, they're single family monarchy. So anytime you see the monarchy, that's the crown. And the crown and the City of London, their interests through intermarriage and fraternity are basically the same, identical. You can't separate them.
You know, most people, I mean, just to emphasize this point, most people, they think we live in a democracy or a republic or whatever system there is. But actually, these kind of systems, they are man-made, right? And they are quite new. I mean, for many centuries, humans were controlled by monarchies. And for me, the democracy or communism or socialism, these are like new systems. And they are just, for me again, they are just like a show, just like a masquerade, when actually the controllers behind the scenes are still the monarchies, which you just mentioned.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And they've used very elaborate systems to disguise their control. And in America, for example, you have to go back to the founding of this country, where Alexander Hamilton was agent of the Rothschild Bank, and he proposed that we have a private central bank instead of a public central bank, which is what really every country needs, is a publicly owned central bank that can issue currency, create currency. Then you can have zero interest loans to businesses. You don't have to be for profit. You can actually help industry. You can help build up infrastructure. You can help small businesses. Right. You can help entrepreneurs. And that's what you should do. That's how you get a flourishing society. That's how America became great. We got away from the British mercantilist model for some time. The peak of which was probably FDR, you know, in the mid-30s. You know, he really wanted to go a different direction and be friends with Russia, China, Germany, and not be friends with the crown. But then he was kind of... at the Potsdam Conference, they kind of railroaded him. And also at the Bretton Woods Conference after World War II, they railroaded us again. But so anyway, that Hamilton got his private central bank. This was knocked out for a while by Andrew Jackson, by Abraham Lincoln, with the greenbacks. John F. Kennedy took a run at him. The last two presidents I just mentioned were assassinated by the crown. This is all in my Big Oil book, the evidence showing who killed Lincoln, who killed Kennedy. These were agents of the crown, clearly.
Who killed Lincoln? Just a quick question for the Israeli audience, you know, to make it more relevant. Who killed Rabin, you know, Israel prime minister? You know?
Yeah, right. I don't have a lot of research on that, but I'm guessing it was probably the same people. You know, it's just a pattern. It's a pattern that you see over and over and over. When anyone threatens the interests of the crown, if they're in a powerful enough position, they assassinate them.
All right. Anyway, I don't want to go further into this subject. We may do another podcast or maybe another one that we can also speak about Israel and what's going on here and how the crown is actually controlling Israel. I would like, what we just started to see and what you're describing is some sort of pyramid of control, which is based, I mean, it goes back to Venice, but it's based nowadays and since 12th century, it's based in the City of London. And they run all these offshore accounts and they control whatever civilizations or whatever continents or countries they dominated over the centuries, and they build up a system that masquerading their control, really. And like you said, in Kenya, I mean, people go to the bank and it's black people and they think they are free and the government is black, but actually the central bank is controlled by the city of London, and it's just a system, and it's they do like copy paste, you know, to other places, and this is how it works. I started the first question from here and now. If you can describe, because for sure we will jump again backwards and forwards, right? Because that's how we do it, because we are still in a history lesson. But I want to go back or forward to here and now, just to tell us what's going on at this moment around the world in the developed countries, also developing countries, but no, there's no difference for me at this time. What's going on in terms of control and the pyramid of control around the world now?
What's going on now is really the oligarchy that I speak of, the city of London, they have reestablished such control over the entire planet. And the internet was the final piece of the puzzle for them, because once you can get the connectivity, you know, when you think of connectivity, you think of a good thing. But for them, connectivity just means a greater ability to control us, track us, surveil us, and ultimately kill us. So where we're at now is we're in the depopulation phase, I would call it, because they have such control, but also the technology is advancing, has advanced so fast now that there just is a lot less need for human, you know, workers. And they're trying to figure out what to do about this. So do we give them a permanent monthly salary just for nothing, like Switzerland, I guess, is doing? How do we keep the hordes from revolting? You know, how do we keep these 18-year-old boys, you know, who aren't working, who don't have a job, can't find meaningful work, from, you know, sitting around having thoughts of revolution and actually taking a run at us and getting rid of us? Yeah. And this is what keeps them up at night. And so they're trying to they're trying to debilitate our health with things like fluoride, which is comes from.
Okay. Just one thing before we go into this, because this is, I want to, you know, present all these methods properly. But just before that, some people, they still think that what you just said, it's BS. What I say normally every day, it's BS, because they say there's no depopulation. I mean, look, people are living more years, right? We have more money. We live in a wealthy society. What you on about? Who is depopulating you? No one is depopulating you, right? So you have internet, you have food, you have medicines, you have whatever, okay? You can name it. And people say, what you on about? We just, the population is getting more and more and more, and we live more years. So there's no depopulation. This is just BS. What can you say to that?
Well, first thing I would say is last year was the first year in the United States where the average life expectancy decreased.
Same in Israel.
Yeah.
And okay. Already 2 years in a row in the U.S.,
Okay, so there. And then in England, they had an 11% jump in mortality. Because just because it's the crown and it's based in England doesn't mean they don't hate the British people just as much as they hate us. Because, you know, we're just a useless eater, little people to them. I mean, this is how these oligarchs think. So yeah, it's just not true that we're living longer anymore. It used to be true. It's also true that the biggest cause of death among teenagers now, 18 to 30 years old, is brain tumors, brain cancer. Yeah, for kids. You know, kids are having strokes. Kids are having heart attacks.
This is
kids
in the U.S.
Yeah, even in the U.S.
You're talking about the U.S. now or other countries?
Well, this is in the U.S. U.S. Yeah. I don't know about other countries, but I suspect there's a pattern it's cell phones. If you think it's crazy that these people would want to depopulate us, just think about the environmentalist movement. The environmental movement basically kicked off after they assassinated John F. Kennedy. And that was British intelligence, Sir James Stephenson out of the Tyndall compound in Jamaica, that ran that operation through the CIA, yeah, through the mafia, yeah, but at the very top of that operation was the MI6, okay, working as they do as Crown agents. That MI6 was the first secret society in the world, and the CIA was the second, and they're all run by the bankers. The CIA or the Mossad or the MI6, they don't work for Israelis, they don't work for British, they don't work for U.S. people, they work for the banking cartel. They were set up by the banking cartel. In fact, the CIA and the Council on Foreign Relations, it's like a revolving door. And if you're a banker and your kid might very well be picked to be a CIA bigwig, you know, and vice versa. So the banking fraternity, the intelligence fraternity, they're one and the same. This is what a lot of people don't understand, how close these people are. So anyway, at the time when Kennedy was assassinated, there was a kind of a serious revolution brewing in the U.S. and around the world in the early 60s. And they were worried about it. So they sort of brought in the World Wildlife Fund right after Kennedy was assassinated. And their whole thing was, you know, Prince Charles was on the board. If you look at the big, what I call the G7 of the environmental movement, which is like Sierra Club, World Wildlife Fund, Nature Conservancy. If you look at their boards of directors, it's all the royal families, DuPont, ExxonMobil executives. And so what they started cooking up was this idea, and again, it's this anti-human focus coming from the City of London and basically telling us we have to undergo austerity measures because, you know, the climate's changing and all this stuff. But what it's really about is underdevelopment of Africa, for example. Like, let's set up a bunch of safari parks in Africa and keep the giraffes and the elephants and just let the people starve so that the British oligarchy or the oligarchies of Europe can go to Africa and watch the animals while the people of Africa starve. So then the entire environmental movement as we know it, and I'm an environmentalist, a real environmentalist. Yeah, yeah. That's why I live the way I do. But I'm telling you about the agenda of the big time environmental movement. And so, you know, then they did the Earth Summit in 92 and Maurice Strong and Al Gore behind it, a mining executive and an Occidental Petroleum executive. The Club of Rome was already set up in 1968. Their whole focus was overpopulation. Their whole focus. So you have to understand, and Prince Philip, the husband.
In the Club of Rome, they declare man as the enemy of planet Earth.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And Prince Philip, you know, he's the husband of Queen Elizabeth. He said himself he wants to reincarnate as a parasite so he can take out a bunch of humanity. So, again, this is this Luciferian hatred of humanity coming to the stage now, coming out in the open. They're coming out of the closet. This is fascism. This is eugenics. This has preceded Hitler by a long shot.
Oh, yes, yes.
And it all came from the City of London. They created Hitler, you know, in fact. So,
hang on a second. Sorry. I want to say to the audience, listen, most of us, we cannot really understand it because we don't think from that point of view. I mean, we are compassionate beings. And they, these oligarchs, these monarchies, these people, these groups, they are, well, I don't know if all of them, but they run on a psychopathy road, right? They have psychopathic way of thinking, and we cannot understand it because they cannot feel compassion and we can. Now, yeah. I don't know if it's a defect. I do know some about it, whether it's a defect or whether it's MK Ultra, whether it's mind controlling them to make them psychopaths and to make the difference between the monarchies and us bigger. Still, we need to understand, and this I'm telling to the Israeli audience, that most of us, all of us, let's say, we cannot really grasp it. It's like, why they do it? Why it's too much? You need to understand that it's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of living. It's a different way of seeing reality, understanding humanity, nature, and so on and so on. So don't try too much to understand it because you cannot. We believe in the good and they don't. It's totally the opposite. What we see as good, they see as bad and so forth. Sorry, I just wanted to clarify this. Go on, Dean, sorry.
No, that's a really, really excellent point. It has to be made actually because this is the hardest. This is why it's so hard to get people to believe Even though, for example, my big oil book, it's like 500 pages, 980 footnotes. Footnotes, all facts. There's no conspiracy theories in that book at all. They're not theories. They're facts. But yet, it's so hard. You can present this and document it and give evidence and everything. Of course, you know, the CIA created the term conspiracy theory back in the 60s to discredit these facts, okay? Yeah. But it doesn't matter because, again, like you said, people cannot imagine how anyone could be that evil. Because most people aren't, because we don't want to believe that.
Exactly.
It's really an ugly thing that you have to face. But it's kind of like, I always say, it's like, you know, say a grizzly bear is running at you on a mountain trail in Montana where I used to live. And I've come across them from time to time.
Wow.
And, you know, you can do two things. You can just pretend the grizzly doesn't exist and kind of la-da-da-da-da, and you'll just get eaten. Or you can acknowledge that the grizzly bear is there, which is hard, which is difficult. It's not easy to acknowledge that. But your survival depends on it.
Yeah.
And then if you acknowledge that it exists, like you would acknowledge that this cabal exists, then we can do something about it. You can run up a tree. You can run away. You can make noise and yell. In this case, you can put out information. You can tell your friends and family. You can do something about it. So actually, it's empowering. But this is the analogy I make. It's like, you know, if you bury your head in the sand at this point, especially with this 5G now coming out, which is the final end game for these people and their depopulation, and they want to take out 90% of humanity, and this is it. So we can't bury our heads in the sand anymore. We can't pretend the grizzly doesn't exist, or we die.
Let's talk about this, about G5, about fluoride, about all these, let's say, it's non-lethal weapons they use against us. And the emphasis, quite ironically, it's on the non-lethal, because it's fucking lethal shit, you know? They pouring at us, and we are like, oh, it's non-lethal, that's all right. Fuck you, you know? And I'm like, it drives me mad, these lies, these so many lies, you know, we are being fed. And sorry, I bet I don't speak. Okay, if you can just like share with us the non-lethal ways, non-lethal, right? That they are activating against us, against humankind, human race, and against nature, wherever nature is, you know?
Yeah. Sure. So most of the stuff, well, we'll just go through them. Fluoride. So fluoride is a industrial waste. It's created from phosphorus mining. The biggest phosphorus miner in the world is Cargill Corporation. It's a private grain company out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, that you maybe never heard of, but it actually controls 50% of the global grain trade, like 50% of the global grain trade. They're the number one orange juice exporter from Brazil. They're the number one phosphorus miner in Morocco. They have a salt monopoly pretty much over all the salt in the world. They're the number two meat packer in the world after the Brazilian JBS. This is a huge company. It's privately held. It's owned by the Cargill and McMillan family. So they can't get rid of the fluoride, which is a product, a mining waste, basically, from mining phosphorus. And they do it in Florida, and they do it in Morocco, mostly, are the two big places. And so they take the fluoride and they put it in toothpaste. And every dentist in the world is indoctrinated to the fact that it's good for your teeth, when in fact it destroys your teeth. But it not only destroys your teeth, it really attacks your pineal gland, which is your third eye in your head, which is, I call it your bullshit detector. You know, it gives you the ability to see like a carnival barker for what he is, or, you know, like a circus actor. Oh, that's bullshit. You know, that's bullshit. Okay. And we're losing that ability if you haven't noticed. I mean, there's so many people who have become so naive, and they'll, you know, if somebody talks in a certain way or sells or does a sales pitch on them, they'll believe them. Oh, yes. So this is why, because our pineal gland is being degraded. It's also being degraded by the LED lights on the street lamps out in front of your house, the blue lights, which is made by General Electric, which is a crown agent, which came out of RCA and is now Serco, a part of Serco. And GE has sold off all of its, you know, real stuff, and it's now just focusing on data management, just like Serco. So they're a very creepy corporation, General Electric, and it's always been part of the crown. And they're the ones cranking out the LED lights, the blue light, which is bad for us. And it's also bad in these screens we're doing here and in the TVs because it destroys your eyesight. But the other thing is you can't sleep. When you can't sleep, you don't, because of the blue lights outside of your house at night, if you're in the city, you don't produce melatonin. Well, melatonin feeds your pineal gland, mainly. And this is why people are becoming more naive and more easily kind of hurtable, you know, and easily kind of turned into cyborgs, which is what they're trying to do. They're trying to create this hive mind group think where everybody thinks the same, everybody agrees, everybody, you know. And so, you know, it's like that one Alda. Aldous Huxley said, we'll teach them to love their electronic imprisonment. Yeah. You know, they'll love it. Yeah. And that's what's kind of happened. Yeah. So, you know, the LED lights are bad. The smart meters, also made by GE, are through the roof as far as EMFs. Just through the roof. And they're putting them on every apartment building and every house and everywhere. And again, it's the GE monopolies providing every single one of them. And these are definitely, killing people, debilitating people, and most interestingly, they're rendering people sterile. So if you want to depopulate people, you have to target the sex organs, and they're doing that with these EMFs. There's a study after study that's showing women are just not having a very good luck getting pregnant right now.
And also a lot of miscarriages.
And a lot of miscarriages. And so, you know, and the other thing you want to do, another weapon in their slow kill debilitation arsenal is this transgender agenda. Again, if men don't agree with women, guess what? There's no babies. Guess what? The human population drastically reduced. So they have to push this. And I have, of course, nothing against anybody who's transgender. You know, they've been with us for a long time. In fact, in Native American tribes, they were often considered like the medicine people, the sages, the smart ones. But they didn't go around telling everybody about it. They didn't go around demanding extra rights. And they didn't go around, you know, making it a big agenda. So now it's an agenda. And when it becomes an agenda, again, you know there's something behind the agenda. Yeah. Just as an environmental movement, I'm an environmentalist, but I'm not part of the agenda.
Yeah, yeah.
So then it leads to transhumanism also. It's a stepping stone to transhumanism, where we accept that, okay, we'll just go ahead and be part robot, it's fine. So that leads me into the chemtrails and the aluminum, the barium, the strontium that literally is raining out of the sky everywhere now. I didn't see them here in Missouri until this last winter we started seeing them, but they're really targeting the West Coast, the East Coast, the Gulf Coast, I guess because the prevailing winds will then take them inland, you know, probably, and drop them on everybody, and they have to mix them a certain way. But there's nanoparticles in these, and their weapons. The Navy documents, NSA documents talk about, you know, nano dust weaponry, and these are basically what's going on is they're dropping them, and they're just going into your skin. You're absorbing these nanoparticles, and you're becoming more conductive, and they have to make us more conductive because this 5G that's going to be rolled out will depend on each and every one of us being sort of an antenna, see, that transmits signal and stuff like this. But they're also making us extremely unhealthy. And so the aluminum, the barium, the strontium, made by some, you know, chemical companies, again, owned by the cartel, so they're making a mint, you know, spraying all this stuff. By the way, Monsanto, which is also close to the crown, has come out with an aluminum-resistant seed now. And you have to ask yourself, why now are they coming out with this aluminum-resistant seed? I thought there were no chemtrails. Oh, okay. So, I mean, it's, you know, and then that's the other, you know, slow-kill method is the glyphosates that Monsanto, now Bayer Corporation, which you have to remember was part of IG Farben, the Nazi. Which out of that came Bayer, BASF, and Hoechst, you know, the three companies. But these are the guys that made the Zyklon B for Auschwitz.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, they're close to the crown. Monsanto is close to
the crown. By the way, where do you put IBM?
Yeah, IBM's definitely part of it. You know, they came out with the initial computer and, you know, they provided a lot of the seed technology for the military. And, you know, Thomas Watson was the head of it for a long time. They had one computer they called Lucifer at one point. I mean, they're definitely part of
No,
the cabal.
I know the part of it. I just thought
Yeah.
you may have something to add to it, but it's all right. No.
Not a whole lot on IBM, but
That's fine. They
they're
have. I
supposed
just
to
saw
be.
an ad. I saw an ad of IBM, and I show it on my as one of the slides on my presentations. It's IBM building a smarter planet.
Sure. Oh yeah, they're intimately involved with the build out of 5G. And so anyway, these are all just components. Vaccinations is the other one. Vaccinations, when I was a kid, I don't know, we had like five vaccines maybe before we were, yeah, you know.
Same
And
here.
it was, you know, probably not good for you, but you didn't get too many, so you made it. But now, I mean, these kids are getting, I think, 69 vaccinations before they're 8 years old. The first one is hepatitis C, like the day they're born, they get it. And it's insane because why would a kid need a hepatitis C vaccination unless he was like a junkie or really promiscuous on his first day in this world? So it's just insane. So this is causing a huge spike in autism among kids, where they're saying like one in two kids are going to have autism in 10 years, you know, if this continues. Autism just didn't even used to exist.
Yeah, I know.
And autism is just a brain injury. It's brain damage. So, and the EMFs don't help autism either. There's a lot of connection too with the electromagnetic frequencies. One of the most interesting things I've came across was the Wi-Fi operates at 2.4 gigahertz, right? Okay. So 2.4 gigahertz is the oxygen molecule absorption rate into your body. I'm sorry, the water molecule
Yes,
absorption rate.
the
Yes,
oxygen
water.
is 60 gigahertz, which is the 5G range. But
Yes.
go on about the 2.4. Go on.
No, no, yeah, that's just what I wanted to say. Is so right now they're dehydrating the shit out of us.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at when you take a pee, check it out, and it's dark, and you're not getting enough water, and that's because the Wi-Fi is all around you, and you're being literally dehydrated. When the 5G comes, as Shai said, this is at 60 gigahertz, and this is the oscillation absorption rate
of the oxygen
molecule. So at that point, you're going to be suffocated.
Yeah.
What are the two main elements that humans need to survive?
Water
Oxygen
and oxygen.
And water.
Right.
Right. So if they poison, and then there's glyphosate in all the food, which is not just in corn. They spray it on wheat before they harvest it to desiccate it and dry it out. It's everywhere. You can't hardly get away from it. So glyphosate mimics the glycine amino acid.
Yeah.
That's where they get the name. And so your gut, that's why people have so many gut problems,
yeah,
you know, with their intestines and with their, you know, because your body thinks that glyphosate is glycine. And it's like, oh, good, I'll uptake the glycine. And instead it's taking up this poison. And this, none of this, you look at those three things right there about your food, your air, and your water. And the water, of course, you have to include the fluoridation of the water.
Yeah.
And, you know, in every
also
major
food. Also the food is
yeah,
with fluoride. You know, it takes water.
All that stuff. And you cannot tell me that it's not a coordinated kill program.
Yeah.
You just, how can people think of these things? How can it just be a coincidence that Wi-Fi operates at the absorption rate of the water molecule and that 5G operates at the absorption rate of the water molecule? How can it be a coincidence that glyphosate coming from Monsanto, which is everywhere, is mimicking the glycine amino acid, probably the most important amino acid in our body.
Mm-hmm.
How can this all be? How can it, you know, it can't be unless you're totally naive and your pineal gland is just shot to hell. Then you'll just think it's all a coincidence. See, so the thing is, you're being hoodwinked, people. You're being lied to. You've been lied to for a long time. Virtual reality is not something new. Virtual reality is something that the oligarchy has always tried.
Mm-hmm.
To sort of project, you know, they pull a screen down in front of us and they say, this is the way it is. Like on the Wizard of Oz,
yeah.
You know, the Wizard of Oz, you know, the story where he, you know, he gives a lion the courage and he gives the Tin Man the heart, whatever. And they think, oh, he's so powerful. And then they find the guy and he's hunkered behind this sheet. And he's this little frail 90-year-old guy, just about dead. It's the same as these guys in the City of London. They're weak. They're not the fittest. Even though they spout survival of the fittest, they're not the fittest. They're some of the weakest, most inbred people. They can't even think straight. They're extremely nervous right now because of things like this that we're doing to expose their existence.
Mm.
They're extremely nervous right now. So they're extremely eager to roll this 5G out as fast as they can and complete this agenda.
You know,
and this is... The other thing.
Sorry, go on.
No, that's fine. I'm just saying this is extremely important for people to realize that they are very nervous right now. The Rothschilds just privatized their Swiss bank, which is their biggest bank, took it private, took it out of the public realm. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes with the elite right now that indicate they are really nervous. And this is why they're pushing 5G. This is why they're pushing the war with Russia with this fake Trump-Russia connection, which is no basis at all, in fact, for incorrect. In fact, it was the Crown that interfered in our election. The Steele dossier was Michael Steele. He's British intelligence. Stephen Halper was his handler. He was British intelligence. Right. You look at the entire Trump-Russia thing, and it was all British intelligence, as was the Shripal poisoning, as were the Syrian white helmets. See, British intelligence is being exposed in many different fronts right now. The Facebook Cambridge Analytica scandal, that's British intelligence. Cambridge Analytica is British intelligence. So you just got to open your eyes and you'll start seeing that, okay, because they're desperate. So they're making mistakes. They're making mistakes. And we see those mistakes. We capitalize on them. We come out the next day on the internet. This is why there hasn't been a big false flag for a while. They can't do it because we're too fast. We're exposing them too fast. And by the way,
yeah,
go ahead.
No. By the way, what?
No, I just got some interesting news this morning from, a couple interesting things. You heard about the Brussels situation where they banned 5G. So now Portland, Oregon, they had a chance to ban it. They didn't ban it, but they called for the FCC to do more study of 5G at least. And also, I had no idea, but French Yellow Vests, I've been in contact with them. And these people have been following my blog for like 10 years. They're called Resistance 71. And I had no idea that I got this letter last night. It's email. And they're like, you know, we've been following your stuff for 10 years. And so it's like the Yellow Vest movement. I had some role in inspiring the Yellow Vest movement. And that just shows you, and I'm not pat myself on the back, but it is kind of cool because I had no idea. But it just shows you the power of information. And it shows you that we're winning the information war. Occupy Wall Street came out of the same kind of websites and the same kind of people talking about the same kind of things, these bankers again. And it's just the spreading like wildfire. So we're winning the information war. This is why Google, which is controlled by Alphabet, you may have read my last article.
No.
It's called Crown's Alphabet Thought Police, because Alphabet owns Google and YouTube, and they're starting to take down, you know, chemtrails videos, vaccination videos, 5G videos. But it's because they're desperate. But see, Alphabet, you think about it. So these Luciferians, they invert reality. They take everything, turn it upside down. So that things like, you know, diversity, supposed to be a good word, right? But now it means bombing out countries like Libya, Afghanistan, and then we're supposed to accept diversity when these immigrants come flooding into our countries. They're actually destroying diversity in Guatemala, in Honduras, in Libya, in Afghanistan. They're destroying entire cultures.
Yeah.
Then we're supposed to be tolerant, right? Yeah, tolerance is a good thing, right? Not anymore. Not if you want to, not unless you want to tolerate evil, tolerate crazy stuff. Might be a good time to be intolerant right now because the Luciferians have turned that one around. See, an Alphabet to me indicates they're scrambling the language. They're scrambling the thought. And this is the final attack, the non-lethal attack. This is the part of it that's the most disturbing, where they're actually coming in and they're putting thoughts in people's heads. And they're using an inversion of the language, an inversion of the alphabet, the owner of Google and YouTube, to mess with their minds and to basically make us think certain things and believe certain things. And this is where people really have to, you have to guard your thoughts right now. You have to guard your soul right now. You have to guard your speech right now, what you say. You have to guard everything, because there's an attack on the very essence of humanity right now by a non-human entity that's somehow coming through these computers, that's somehow plugged into this oligarchy, City of London, Crown I'm talking about. It's not human. I'm going to call it alien. You can call it Satan if you want. You can call it demons if you want. But anything not from this earth, I'm not interested in it. It's my enemy because I'm a natural law person based in natural law. I'm a human being. This is where we're from.
Yeah.
It's not where they're from. And we have no business meddling around with CERN and with outer space and all these satellites. We have no business with it. We don't know what's going on. So you just have to go back. Everybody should go back and watch 2001, A Space Odyssey. Just go back and watch that movie. because it's really what we're dealing with here is some sort of something from out beyond that's helping these people destroy us. And we can either choose to embrace this earth and defend it and fight like hell to defend it and wake our asses up and get in fight mode and get in connect mode, or we can just fold and be part of the cyborg and basically who knows what's going to happen to you when you die. Will you even reincarnate? Will you even have that ability anymore? Will you just be part of this dark force? I mean, it's serious stuff here we're facing.
Oh, yes,
it's serious.
Yes, I know. And most people are naive about it and they ignorant about it. And, well, this is part of what we do is to try and wake them up to this reality. Although it's unfortunate reality, we need to do something about it. I would like to, well, first, I wanted to say that also Bill Cooper said that you should watch 2001 Space Odyssey because it tells you everything. It tells you their agenda. Okay? Yeah. If you want to know what's their agenda, go and watch this film. It says it all. You have it all. Since the beginning till now, their plans and the way they see things. This is one thing. Yeah. So it's quite funny you say it, you mention it, because you spoke about it quite a lot. Another thing I wanted to ask you, do we have help from maybe other entities or from maybe people or groups of people who they know this plan for maybe many years, not since, you know, I'm not talking about the yellow vests and not talking about this. I'm talking about like you have the dark side, the black force, the monarchies, the city of London, the crown. Do they have an enemy that we can walk with against them?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the earth. It's the earth. It's Mother Earth. It's creator. It's natural law. That's the enemy. And that's why the animals, even right now, you see an increase in shark attacks. You see increase in bear attacks. They're pissed. The animals are pissed. They're dying. There's a mass extinction going on.
Yeah.
These guys created it. These assholes created the mass extinction. You know, and then they want to blame us and say that it's the humans' fault. We created the environmental crisis. No, it was their factories. It was their oil. It was their building the space fence. They're messing around up there with all this stuff, everything. And then they want to blame us and put us into an austerity program because of what they did. So their enemy is nature. And they obviously look at it that way because look what they've done to nature. Look how they've just decimated this earth. Yeah. And they don't give a shit. No. They don't give a shit. So the enemy of these people is nature, actually, and humanity. So all you have to be is a real human being, and all of a sudden you're their enemy. But so many people now are deciding they don't want to be real human beings. They want to bury their head in a cell phone and become a cyborg.
Yeah.
And this is the danger, because the more you do that, the more you become an ally of this oligarchy. You don't even know it, but you're becoming an ally. Because, first of all, Google is not a library. You know, if people think they go on Google, they just automatically get the things that are most pertinent come up first. No, it's all political. They give you what the establishment wants you to find in your search. It's not your search. It's their search, you. So they can brainwash you further. It's the same with YouTube videos. They put the stuff up there they want you to see. If you go to chemtrails right now, the first thing, or vaccines, you'll see debunking videos for the first two pages. So my website, constantly under attack. A lot of people I quit Facebook because it's so evil. The social media is the most evil part because they're playing on the most psychopathic tendencies of people when they created Facebook. And it's just pitting people against each other. And that helps the oligarchy. Anytime we're dividing into camps, you know, left or right or women and men or whatever it is, religious, you know, anytime you're excluding other people from your thing, you're playing right into the crown's agenda. But anytime you're trying to unify people, which I'm so glad to be in front of an Israeli audience today, it's huge, man, because the more we just bring people under this tent of humanity, that's what we have in common, and that's the enemy of this oligarchy, this demonic Luciferian oligarchy. It's humanity and it's nature. So you stay close to that, and you try to be inclusive, and you try to be loving. And if we put out enough love, and if we are aware enough, this thing will just go poof. I mean, it can literally tomorrow just go poof, gone, cartel gone. Really, I believe that. And it's not unscientific either. It's now being proven by subatomic physics and things like this, that it actually does work that way, that the intentions of a scientist matter, that their mood matters when they do experiments. They're finding things out like this, that actually love is scientific. And it is a war of good and evil, and love versus fear. Yeah. You can live in love, or you can live in fear.
This is like Bill Hicks. You know Bill Hicks.
Yeah. Bill Hicks is awesome. Yeah, the comedian. Yeah.
Shame is gone, but
yeah, it's true, right?
This I think what you just said, like the last couple of minutes, really moved me. I even have some, you know, like. You made my eyes like reddish and a bit wet. So thank you for that, because it is moving and I can feel your intention. And listen, we have so much to talk about. I think we will do like chapter B and chapter C. I would like to stop here. You know, I would like to keep some more for other podcasts. And I think what we touched in this interview, it's very important to give this to give this look, this almost 360 degrees look, but let's say at least panoramic view, you know, of reality, of reality, you know, what is going on under the surface. Behind the TVs, behind the news, behind what we think reality is. So, you know, for myself and for the Israeli audience, I want to say thank you for what you do. And if you could just send me your latest article you just mentioned.
Sure.
It would be great. I may even translate it to Hebrew. Thank you for that. I will... You know, we will speak soon, and I will we'll fix another time for chapter B if it's all right.
Sounds really great. I really appreciate you having me, Shai, and you know, hello to all the Israelis watching this. And I'm glad we know each other now a little bit. You know me anyway. I'd love to get to know you. Yeah. So feel free to subscribe to my website. It's www.hendersonlefthook.wordpress.com. You can subscribe for free. Just hit a little button up the upper right corner. It says free email subscription. That way, when I write an article, you'll get it in your inbox just as I'm writing it. Thanks for having me, and I really appreciate it.
I will put a link to your website in the video description for sure.
Great.
I really appreciate your work and you having me actually in this interview. Well, so thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I appreciate your work too. And just shoot me a link when you're done, and my subscribers can also find out about you and your work, and that we can help each other that way.
It's been a pleasure, mate. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Okay. Take care,
Shai. Bye bye. You too. Bye bye.
Very much.
Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye.